Good afternoon, 4:30 and 62 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
Your sons and daughters will be sent to war automatically without a vote, without a declaration of war. And you say, well, maybe they don't mean that. Maybe they would obey the Constitution. They don't now.
Senator Rand Paul expresses his outrage about a new treaty that he contends sidesteps the Constitution.
Moorhead State will announce its new president tomorrow.
And Governor Bevin has vetoed three bills.
In sports, the MSU baseball team hopes to continue its hot streak this afternoon at Allen Field. The Eagles are taking on Alabama A&M.
But Luke has the business news.
Cloudy with isolated showers tonight, lows in the 40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A public event is scheduled tomorrow at Moorhead State University to announce the school's 14th president. It'll take place in the Button Auditorium Drill Room at 10 a.m. The Board of Regents has been negotiating with Dr. J. Morgan to fill the post that'll be vacated June 30th by Wayne Andrews. Paul Goodpaster is chair of the MSU Regents.
Dr. Morgan and his family, we believe, the board believes, will be an ideal fit for the campus, for the community, and especially as we move forward in kind of the unknown from the standpoint of funding and student recruitment, retention, those kinds of things.
Dr. Morgan has been vice president for academic affairs at Kentucky's Council for Post-Secondary Education since 2015. Prior to that, he was Murray State University's provost. He has a B.S. in agriculture science and business from Murray and a Ph.D. in agricultural education from Oklahoma State University.
With officials about to begin planning for the district's 2017-18 budget, Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore says his school system's financial picture looks pretty good. According to Moore, unlike in recent years, the Rowan District is not facing a situation where it will have to reduce its spending.
You never want to make cuts. You never want to do anything that's going to impact students. And what we've been trying to do over the years is to make sure that we have no negative impact on the classroom instruction, because as I tell our principals and tell the teachers, that's where the rubber hits the road. And we've done a pretty good job making sure that any cuts that were made has not had a direct impact on classroom instruction.
Rowan schools have made billions of dollars in spending cuts in the last 8 years. The district's teachers got 1% pay hikes last year. Moore says officials will decide on possible raises for the 2017-18 academic year when they hold their annual budget retreat in May.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin has vetoed three bills and a portion of a fourth bill passed by the new GOP-controlled legislature. Records show Bevin issued his vetoes on Monday. Lawmakers could override them when they reconvene tomorrow for the final 2 days of the legislative session. Bevin vetoed Senate Bill 91, which would have expanded a law allowing the state to commit people to a mental hospital against their will. He also vetoed House Bill 540, which made it a felony to fly drones in a restricted area, and he vetoed Senate Joint Resolution 57, which names various roads throughout the state. Bevin issued a partial veto for House Bill 471 to remove language that would only let the state legislature spend money from the Volkswagen Mitigation Trust Agreement.
The Carter County jury has ruled in favor of four female prison guards who claim they were harassed while working at the Little Sandy Correctional Complex. Media outlets report the jury on Friday announced the $1.6 million verdict against the Kentucky Department of Corrections. Lawsuit alleged that Sergeant Stephen Harper touched the female staffers, exposed himself, and tried to force the woman to touch him. All but one of the plaintiffs quit their jobs. Sergeant Harper remains employed at the prison.
Authorities say a Boyd County high school teacher is accused of having an inappropriate relationship with a female student. Deputies say 52-year-old Michael Sammons of South Shore was arrested Monday and charged with third-degree rape and prohibited use of electronic communication systems to procure a minor. The Daily Independent reports that Sammons is a math teacher and longtime area football coach. Boyd Superintendent Brock Walter says The school received information Monday, and the school resource department began an investigation. Walter says Sammons, who has taught in the area for more than 20 years, has been suspended. He has coached football at Greenup County High School and was a head coach at Portsmouth Notre Dame.
The search for a missing Lewis County man has been suspended. MSPR's Tilden Johnson reports.
County Emergency Management Director George Sparks told the Lewis County Herald that the disappearance of 28-year-old Justin Johnson of Vanceburg has been turned over to Sheriff Johnny Bivens, who is treating this matter as a criminal investigation. Johnson was last seen at his home on Town Branch Road last Thursday night. His pickup was found the next morning in an area just south of Garrison. Search teams spent Saturday, Sunday, and Monday looking for the man, but to no avail. Bivens plans to use a helicopter to survey that part of the county. He told the paper that he and his deputies are interviewing Johnson's relatives and associates to gather information that will help them find the man. Anyone with knowledge about Johnson's possible whereabouts is asked to call the Lewis Sheriff's Department at 606-796-2912. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Tolden Johnson.
A woman exonerated of a murder that she served 8 years for can continue with a lawsuit that accuses a KSP detective of malicious prosecution. Here is Haley Hansen.
In the lawsuit, Susan Jean King says that Detective Todd Harwood lied to a judge to get a warrant to search her house and then left out evidence, including ballistics results and the fact that she only had one leg when testifying before the grand jury that indicted her for the 1988 slaying of Kyle Breeden. A U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled King raised, quote, genuine issues of material fact sufficient to reverse a decision, which granted summary judgment to the detective. I'm Haley Hansen.
A project by Frontier Housing to build 7 homes on the west side of Moorhead will help the city in several ways, so says Mayor Jim Tom Trent. According to Trent, not only will the effort on Center Street help some of the city's low-income residents become homeowners, but it will also improve the looks of that part of town, increase property values there, along with attracting the owners of businesses looking at possibly locating in Moorhead.
If they see that the city and the community and the county and everybody involved is working towards helping their own people, helping their own residents, and also taking pride in trying to get rid of these type of areas and build up new areas, then they do see that that's a progressive community. They're not just sitting back and letting things go as they were. They're trying to help. And yes, it is a draw for economic development.
The city received a $1 million dollar community development block grant in 2014 to use as seed money for the project. Frontier Housing is designing and building the 1,100 square foot homes along with providing the financing for them.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore is calling it a big deal. He's talking about a nearly $3 million stormwater separation project on 29th Street. City commissioners last week awarded a contract for the work to Tribute Contracting and Construction. City engineer Ryan Eastwood says it should reduce high water that accumulates in a low-lying part of town following heavy rains.
This whole valley or gap in the hills tends to flood whenever we have very, very large storm events. So this storm sewer will alleviate that, and it will also take a considerable amount of flow out of the sewer treatment plant. So we're not treating that. We're not paying, you know, for the chemicals and electricity to treat that. And it'll go straight to the river.
Eastwood says it also gives the city a chance to widen 29th Street between Lexington and Belmont. He says it's currently too narrow for 3 lanes of traffic.
Ashland's 3 drop-off locations for recyclables have become more like dump sites. That's according to City Commissioner Matt Perkins. That result, he says, is that very little recycling is taking place in Ashland.
Are misusing a service that the city provides, and I think they're contaminating recycling centers with things that you can't recycle. And Commissioner Goode had mentioned that once you contaminate a bin, all of that recyclable material then has to go to the dump.
Perkins says the recycling areas have become unsightly, with mattresses and couches being left at the sites. The locations are at Ashland Community and Technical College, Oliverio Park, and beneath the bridge on 12th Street.
Harbison Walker International has announced plans to build a $30 million plant in South Point. The facility will be constructed in the Point Industrial Park. Executive Director of the Lawrence County Economic Development Corporation, Bill Dingus, tells WSAZ he hopes it's a catalyst for other construction there.
We get a huge number of leads through our existing industries. We see HWI as being a real partner. If their experience here is as positive as we believe it will be, they will help encourage other people to consider the Point.
Dingus tells the Huntington station Harbison Walker will hire 30 to 40 people at its South Point plant, which should be operating early next year.
A longer-than-usual flu season is hurting blood donations. Denise Fields is with the Kentucky Blood Center. She says many schools and businesses have been forced to cancel their blood drives because so many people are out sick.
This has been completely different, and there have been blood drives all over the region that have canceled because of flu. It hasn't been a bad weather winter, so we haven't had a lot of weather cancellations, but we know we've had the cancellations because of the colds and flu.
Field says the KBC has seen 600 fewer donations during the past 2 months compared to this time last year. She recommends that everyone get their flu shot first before donating.
The head of a conservative Kentucky political organization and a Democratic state representative are not surprised. Congressional Republicans failed to approve the GOP's replacement for the Affordable Care Act last week. However, Jim Waters and Steve Riggs differ on why the measure fell short. They appeared Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Waters is president of the Bluegrass Institute for Public Policy Solutions, and Riggs represents part of Jefferson County. The Louisville lawmaker says Speaker Paul Ryan's plan lacked the support it needed from House Republicans because it did not deliver on promises the party has been making for years. Waters argues the bill didn't rely strongly enough on market forces to bring health care costs down.
For example, LASIK surgery or cosmetic surgery or these elective or things where people can choose to have them. They're not forced to have them, or insurers aren't forced to cover them. We see the cost coming down on those.
To try to compare a $499 procedure known as LASIK and say it's wonderful to a $60,000 three-day cancer treatment, you can't compare the two.
Representative Riggs says the Republican plan stalled because it would have raised prices and insurance premiums, especially for seniors. Waters argues that the free market hasn't really been tried as a means of controlling health care costs.
Kentucky's junior senator cast one of the dissenting votes Monday when the full Senate voted 97-2 to allow Montenegro to join NATO. Republican Rand Paul says the treaty should have included an amendment he proposed that would have required a vote of Congress before the U.S. could go to war in defense of the Balkan nation. He says that's the right way to do things, and it's what the Constitution calls for.
So when we were attacked on 9/11, they came to Congress. You know what the vote was? Unanimous. You know, we're not about letting people attack us as a country, and I would have voted for that. When we were attacked in Pearl Harbor, what did FDR do? The thing that great leaders would do, and I'm not a huge fan always of FDR, but he did the right thing. He came to Congress the next day. I think on December 8th, they voted unanimously to go to war.
Paul says too many times U.S. soldiers have been sent into battle without a congressional authorization.
Senator Mitch McConnell says Neil Gorsuch has proven himself to be a brilliant and thoughtful jurist, and there's no principled reason to oppose his confirmation as a Supreme Court justice. The Kentucky Republican accuses Senate Democrats who vowed to vote against Gorsuch of being obstructionists in order to appease liberals who are still upset with the results of the presidential election.
This much is clear. If our Democratic colleagues choose to hold up this nominee, there is no nominee of any Republican president that our friends on the other side would argue deserves 60 votes.
McConnell says Gorsuch is rated as well qualified by the American Bar Association and has been praised by Republican and Democratic colleagues who've served with him.
There's a new chairman of the Greenup County Republican Party. The party named 24-year-old Ryan Biederman as the county's GOP chairman. His predecessor, Angela Mulenix, was named vice chairman. Biederman, a Morehead State University graduate, says being a young leader will pose its challenges, but it won't defer him from leading its party.
people are going to look down upon your age and question your judgment, but that just means I have to be tougher than everybody else. That means I'm going to have extraordinary good character and have distinguished character, as a matter of fact, display my skills and make sure that every decision that I make is a good one.
Biederman is currently pursuing a master's degree in education from Morehead State University. He says he has not ruled out running for office later on. However, his goal right now is to help his party grow in Greenup County. Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, cloudy skies this evening will become partly cloudy later on after midnight. Low should be around 44 degrees. Tomorrow, you can expect mostly cloudy skies early on, then becoming more partly cloudy later on in the afternoon, highs of 67 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, low of 47 degrees. On Thursday, scattered thunderstorms, high of 75 degrees, chance of rain should be around 40%. Thursday night, showers in the evening, then cloudy overnight, low of around 46 degrees, chance of rain at 70%. On Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, high of around 64 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. And on Friday night, showers in the evening, then cloudy overnight, low of around 46 degrees, chance of rain should be at 70%. Right now in Ashland, it's 67 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 61 degrees. Inez is 64 degrees. Lexington is 63 degrees. It's 62 degrees in Winchester, and it's 62 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46 on our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from retired Morehead physician Yul Scott. He says the debate over health care is well worth the time.
The incredible fuss about health care reform is basically and fundamentally about how to pay for it. It is not about the quality of the health care services you receive, as no matter who pays the bills, the providers basically stay the same. So when you hear our politicians rail on and on about the choice of health insurance plans and getting the right plan for your family, it is all about how to finance your rightful health care services. By the way, health insurance is a relatively new phenomenon. It was started during World War II when there were wage and price-fixing laws prohibiting companies from gouging during the hostilities. Companies could not raise wages to attract good workers, so benefits were added. Voila. Health insurance. A tax-free benefit was created, and good workers were hired to build ships. It worked, no pun intended, and most Americans gain health insurance through their employers, and it is a big part of their overall wage. But it is a terribly regressive tax on most workers, except for the top echelon folk. To illustrate, let's assume the skilled employee earns $25 an hour or $50,000 per year, and the company does offer health insurance. Not all do. The health insurance premium cost is $18,000 per year, or about 20% of the total package. But the executive may earn much more, like $300,000 per year, or 5% of his annual wage. Nevertheless, it is a tax-free benefit to all. Because the overall costs of health care are so high, it is obvious that a progressive financing arrangement is needed. And that means the wealthy need to pay a little more. A Medicare for All program would be financed in such a fashion. Let us do away with for-profit health insurance companies, and we can save a boatload of money and have the same health care delivered.
Dr. Yul Scott is a retired practitioner of internal medicine and a fellow with the American College of Physicians. 4:49, you're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. ATC is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Morehead State University officially announced Preston Spradlin as the 14th head coach for the men's basketball program at a press conference today. After being the interim head coach for the Eagles last year for 21 games, going 12-9 and leading MSU to second place in the OVC, Spradlin says today is the first time he has actually felt like the head coach.
We didn't have time to worry about anything or sit back and relax or anything, so it's kind of nice now to have an ending to it, and just feels kind of surreal that this is kind of the moment where I feel like I've achieved something at this point. It doesn't mean I'm going to settle, but it is a very nice moment.
Spradlin signed a four-year contract with MSU. At 30 years old, he is the youngest head coach in college basketball. Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says it will likely be a quiet spring from a recruiting standpoint for his program. According to Todd, the Eagles roster is already in pretty good shape looking ahead to the 2017-18 season.
We did have four seniors that we're losing. We've signed three, and we're not desperate to sign an additional player, but at the same time, if we find a player that we feel like can help us, we would do that.
College basketball spring signing period starts on April the 12th. Some notes from around college basketball. Duke freshman big man Harry Giles has declared for the NBA draft and is expected to sign with an agent. Duke junior forward Sean Obi will transfer, joining Chase Jeter as the second player to transfer from the Blue Devils program in the past week. And North Carolina State freshman point guard Dennis Smith Jr. has also declared for the NBA draft. The Los Angeles Superior Court has ended a family feud regarding the ownership of the NBA's Lakers. Documents filed Monday state that Jim and Johnny Buss have agreed that their sister Janae will serve as the team's controlling owner for the rest of her life. Buss went to court a month ago to seek an order to control the team after her brothers called for a board meeting. She interpreted that as a challenge to her power. The Morehead State baseball team is at Allen Field right now taking on Alabama A&M. Currently, the Eagles are up 7-0 in the second inning behind two home runs by Nico Hoesizer and one home run by Will Schneider. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles went into today's game red hot, having won 12 of their last 13 games.
We've got another stretch of five home games, and we like playing here, and chance to keep playing, and I think that's part of what you've seen us heat up with the bats is the consistency of playing regularly.
The Eagles are now hitting .324 as a team and scoring an average of 8 runs per game. They're slated to host Alabama A&M again tomorrow at 11 a.m. The Cincinnati Reds are keeping their fingers crossed that reliever Rossiel Iglesias will be ready for opening day. The 27-year-old right-hander hasn't thrown a pitch since bruising his elbow and hurting his hip during a fall in the shower on March the 14th. But through his interpreter, Iglesias says he's ready to return to the mound.
So I think everything is going to be right. I feel strong right now. I feel like all my pitches are there. I feel, and tomorrow I'm going to throw a bullpen. So after that, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to go to the season. I'm going to go there and compete, and everything is going to be fine.
In a roster move on Monday, the Reds cut veteran utility man Ryan Rayburn, who had hit just .219 in 32 spring at-bats. The Morehead State softball team fell to Marshall University earlier today 8-0. The loss drops the Eagles to 18-10 on the year. They next battle with Tennessee State and Nashville on Saturday. Spring practices are getting underway today for the Morehead State football team. Coach Rob Tenier says his Eagles hope to build off of a tremendous offseason of conditioning work.
I think our leadership has really risen to the top and got some guys that are both vocal and lead by example, and that's very important. So, now we take what we did in the weight room and on the field, and we transition that to football. So it's a really important time, and it's an exciting time.
Tenier says he has 65 players out for spring drills, which will end on April the 22nd with the team's annual blue-white inter-squad scrimmage. The Louisville football team is also starting its spring practices today. Coach Bobby Petrino believes the Cardinals have plenty of momentum going in, saying they had a good offseason.
I was impressed with what our players did in the weight room and in the conditioning aspect of it, quickness aspect of it. First and foremost, we had a really good attitude and worked extremely hard, and that sets a lot of standards. I really believe that you carry over from what you do in the weight room onto the practice field.
Louisville is returning 14 starters from last year's 9-4 squad, including Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Lamar Jackson, who will be a junior this fall. Finally, in sports, the field for the 143rd Kentucky Derby is taking shape. Paul Miles reports.
Thunder Snow races to the top of the Kentucky Derby leaderboard with just 6 weeks before the Run for the Roses. Owned by Sheikh Mohammed's Godolphin Stables, Thunder Snow won the UAE Derby in Dubai. Two other Derby preps were run over the weekend. Hentz was an upset winner in the Sunland Derby, and Fast and Accurate was a 24-1 upset in the Spiral Stakes. I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Alabama A&M at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Massachusetts will visit Morehead State for three games this weekend, 5 p.m. Friday, 2 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities rose as investors digested strong consumer confidence data, with financial stocks leading. In the Dow, industrials did finish with a gain of 150.52 at 20,701.5. The S&P 500 was up 16.98 at 2358.57, and the NASDAQ composite was up 34.77, finishing at 5875.14. New York Stock Exchange breadth was just right around 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And consumer confidence surged this month, hitting 125.6, up from 116.1 in February, and a much higher than expected reading from the Consumer Board Confidence Index. And certainly this gave the markets a very good tone early on. Other data released included the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which showed U.S. home prices rising 5.9% to a 31-month high for the month of January. Investors also digested commentary from key Federal Reserve officials, including Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher. In an interview, Fisher said two more rate hikes seem about right. And, of course, earlier this month, the Federal Reserve met and did raise interest rates by 0.25%. But the Fed did keep its rates forecast for the year largely unchanged. U.S. Treasury bonds traded lower with the strong stock market today. The benchmark 10-year note yield rose as bond prices fell, with the 10-year yield finishing at 2.41% and the short-term 2-year note yield finishing at around or just under 1.3%. In Europe, markets were strong, with the Stock 600 up 0.6%, and Asian markets were mostly up, with the Nikkei index finishing up 1.14% and the Hang Seng finishing up 0.625%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.3% to finish at $48.35 a barrel, and gold was down 0.3%, finishing at $1,250.80 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Apple and Goldman Sachs. Your worst performers were Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Darden Restaurants and Red Hat, and the worst performers were McCormick and Newmont Mining. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 65 cents at $123.26, CSX up $1.13 at $47.34, AEP up 14 cents at $67.83, Marathon Petroleum up 21 cents at $49.04, AK Steel up 22 cents at $7.33, and Kroger was up 12 cents to finish at $29.05. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies will become partly cloudy after midnight, low of around 44 degrees. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies early, then becoming partly cloudy in the afternoon, high of around 67 degrees. Right now in Ashland, it's 67 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 61. 64 degrees in Inez, 63 degrees in Lexington, 62 degrees in Winchester, and it's 62 degrees in Moorhead.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.